Holding on Peihei Omid Beis by the Mishnah. Continuing on this topic in Olulo Yodu, what when it's brought up onto the Mizbeach doesn't come down even if there's some kind of psul in it. So the Mishnah says, Ve'elu im Olu Yodu, the following things, if they were brought up to the Mizbeach, you still take them down. The Sar Kodshe Kodshim, the meat of Kodshe Kodshim, outside of an Ola, does not belong on the Mizbeach, because the Kohenim are supposed to eat it. Of Sar Kodshim Kalim, and the meat of Kodshim Kalim, same thing, because the Kohenim and the owners are supposed to eat it. We learned earlier, in fact, that there was the Gemara learns from a Pasuk, Kol Shemimenu La'ishim, anything where there's some part of a korban that's supposed to go on the fire of the Mizbeach, Areyu B'Val Taktiru, that there's an Isser to burn any of the rest of it on the Mizbeach. We talked about in the previous Perek, whether we're able, in some cases, to say that we should consider it as though it was wood, but there is such an Isser, and so here, then the meat of a Chatas, or the meat of a chatas or a shlomim or what have you does not belong on the mizbeach, and therefore even if you brought it onto the mizbeach, you would take it down. The leftover of the oimer and the shtei alechem and the lechem aponim, when it comes to the oimer, they take a handful from it, a koimetz, like they do with most menachas, and burn it on the mizbeach. The shtei alechem, you don't have any part of them goes on the mizbeach, so the word moiser is not really accurate by them, but because by them there's nothing of it goes on the Mizbeach in the first place, and the Lechem Aponim, you don't have the Lechem Aponim itself, doesn't go on the Mizbeach, you have the two spoonfuls of Lavoina that go with it. But Shtei Lechem also, you have a bunch of Korbonas, you have a bunch of Korbonas that come with it, those go on the Mizbeach, but there are parts of them go on the Mizbeach, the Shtei Lechem and the Lechem Aponim themselves not. Ushiori Menachos, and the leftovers of other Menachos, Tosfos points out the reason why the Mishnah singles out the Omer and the Omer and the Shtei Lechem is because the Omer is not primarily, first of all, it's from barley, it's coming to be matur to eat chodosh, the Shtei Lechem is chometz, the Lechem Aponim, nothing of them is burnt on the Mizbeach, so therefore the Mishnah wanted to single those out, because those aren't the regular run-of-the-mill kind of mincha. We'll learn about all of them in the Sefer Menachos, Bez Hashem, but they're not the regular kind of mincha of which a chometz is taken, and which is made out of wheat flour, and the chometz is taken, and burnt on the Mizbeach, so the Omer comes from barley, and the other two are not placed on the Mizbeach at all. Anyway, so all of those, Vak Todas, and also Ktodas, that went on the outer Mizbeach, is also not Roy over there. It belongs on the inner Mizbeach, but not on the outer. The Shittim Kovetzis points out, now when it comes to blood, we've learned before that if blood was placed on the outer Mizbeach, where it's supposed to be on the inner one, or vice versa, then B'dievin, we can talk about whether it's kosher, and what we said in Olo Lo Yodu. So why are we saying differently than Ktodas? And the answer is because blood, at least sometimes, there is blood that goes on the inner Mizbeach, some that goes on the outer Mizbeach. But Ktodas, you never have on the outer Mizbeach at all, and therefore it's not considered Roy for it at all. The one unique exception to that was when the Nesiim brought their Korbanos, where they brought Ktodas, Kafachas, Asorazov, Malaya Ktodas, and that was offered together with their Korbanos on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, but that's unusual anyway. You also don't bring Ktodas that was, you also ordinarily don't bring Ktodas that was brought by an individual, and here they did. Continues the Mishnah. Hatsema shebarosh kvasim, the wool on the head of a sheep. Now, when you bring an oila as a sheep, when you bring a sheep as an oila, or you bring any animal as an oila, then they shecht it, they do kabbalah sadam, they do the zrika and all that. Then they take the animal and they skin it and they cut it up. Now, by the time it comes to the skinning, the head's already been removed because it was cut through during the shechita, and then afterwards it's removed and it's separate. So they don't skin the head, but the rest of the body they skin. So now there can be wool left on the head because the head wasn't skinned. Similarly, you have the hair in the beard of a goat. Same thing. If a person brings a goat as an oila, then there's going to be the beard of the there's going to be the animal's beard. Which again is part of the head, so it's not going to be taken off. Va'atzamos and the bones, va'gidim and the gidim, which gidim has a variety of different meanings in Gemara terminology. Basically, it means anything long and skinny in the animal. So it includes nerves and blood vessels and tendons and ligaments and so forth. So all those kinds of things. Hakonayim, va'konayim and the horns, va'tlafayim and the hooves. Bizman Shahim Mukhubarim, any of these things, when they're attached to the actual body of the animal, or in the case of the wool and the beard, when they're attached to the head, Yalu, then they go on the Mizbeach together with the body itself. As the Pasuk says, the Kohen should offer the whole thing on the Mizbeach. Pirshu, on the other hand, if they were separated from the animal, Lo Yalu, then they don't go up onto the Mizbeach. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Va'asisa oilisecha bos of Adam. You should make your oilis, the meat and the blood, and that teaches us that only those things, that only those things are offered on the Mizbeach. So as the Gemara is going to explain, what does that mean? So how do you have one Pasuk telling you offer everything, and the other one limits it and says only bos and dam? So that's going to be this difference of whether they're attached or not. Throughout the sugya that we're going to be learning now, Rashi and Tosfos argue, we're saying the Mishnah is talking about Yalu or Lo Yalu. Do we bring them up to the Mizbeach or do we not? What about if they were brought up to the Mizbeach, already separated from the animal? Do we take them off or not? Rashi holds that we do. And Tosfos discusses and says that no, not necessarily. Even if they were detached from it on the ground, maybe we could still bring them up. Maybe the Dieved we still brought them up on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara starts off. The Pasuk says, the Gemara brings a Braisa. The Pasuk says, V'hichter ha-Kohen as ha-Kohen ha-Mizbeach. The Kohen should make everything go and smoke on the Mizbeach. V'ha-Kol, l'rabas ha-tzamas v'ha-Gidim v'ha-Kanayim v'ha-Tlafayim. That comes to include the bones and the Gidim and the horns and the hooves. You would think the same thing should apply even if they were separated from the animal. And again, subject to the machlokas we're showing him that we just mentioned, whether that means that you don't take them onto the Mizbeach at all, but you shouldn't take them onto the Mizbeach. But if you did, then we don't take them off. Or does it mean that even if you took them up there, then you should take them down? Anyway, it comes to include those. Yochol afil poshu, you would think that means even if they were separated from the animal. Tamalayim avos tisar lesecha, boss of Adam. The pasuk says that you should make your oilus the blood and the flesh, meaning only the blood and the flesh, not all these things. E boss of Adam, yochol yachlitz gidin vatsomos. So you would think maybe what it means is you have to actually extract the gidim and the bones, the yala boso the gabim mizbeach, and bring only the flesh up onto the mizbeach. Maybe that's part of the procedure of a carbon. You have to have made the process the same, only blood and flesh. So maybe what you have to do is after you've shechted and done you've done the four avodas, now you cut open the animal, you skin it, you then go and start removing all the bones and all the gidim and all of that and leave only the flesh and then bring only the flesh up to the Mizbeach. Maybe that's how it is. Nope, Tamad Lama Vehikter HaKohen is HaKol. Nope, because the Pasuk says the Kohen should offer everything. So what does this mean? As we said in the Mishnah, Mechuborin Yalu, it means that if they're attached to the animal, then they do go up to the Mizbeach. Pirshu, but if they were separated from the animal, then even if they're at the top of the Mizbeach, they go down. Now, we just said that the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about our Mishnah, whether Im Olur Yerudu or not. The Braisa is clearly saying Yerudu. Rashi understands that, I think I said it backwards before, Rashi holds Im Olur Yerudu, that even if they were taken up onto the Mizbeach, when they were separate, then they still go down, because Rashi is going to say in that the Braisa that we just quoted is the same opinion as the Mishnah. So if the Mishnah clearly says Im Olur Yerudu, then it has to be that way in the Mishnah as well. Tosfos discusses and says not necessarily. The Braisa and the Mishnah may represent different opinions. So throughout the sugya, they argue on different points of the Gemara that relate to that. So the Gemara says, Man Tana de Shamas Le de Omer Pirshu Yerudu. Which Tana is it that you find that says that if they were separated from the animal, then they do go off the Mizbeach? Now here's one of the places where Rashi and Tosfos have their argument, because Rashi says the Gemara is implying that even though we're asking only about the Braisa, which said Pirshu Yerudu, in fact, the Gemara is also asking that Tana is also the Tana of our Mishnah, and which Tana is that? Whereas according to Tosfos, then no, because the Mishnah used the expression Pirshu Lo Yalu. If the Mishnah meant that Yerudu, which then that's a greater Chiddush, it should have said that. So therefore, so no, the Mishnah is saying if the if the bones and the rest of them were separated from the behemoth before it went on from the Mizbeach, sure, you shouldn't bring them up. But if you did bring them up, then lo yodu. Within that, there was a machlokas achronim, the Shitrim Kubetzis versus the Keren Erda discussed within Tosfos' opinion. Do they mean, does Tosfos mean specifically, the Keren Erda learns that it means specifically where, let's say, the bones were still attached when it was brought up from the Mizbeach, and then they were detached, then somebody cut off the flesh from the bones before putting the flesh on the fire, then what do we do with the bones? And Tosfos is saying we leave them up there in Ololo Yodin. But if the bones had been separated out before it ever went up onto the Mizbeach, then according to the Keren Erda, Tosfos would agree that you take them off the Mizbeach. The Shittu Kubetzis disagrees with that understanding of Tosfos. Anyway, so which Tana is it that says that Pirshu, if they're separated Yodu, then they should go down from the Mizbeach? And the answer is Rebbe. That would be specifically according to Rebbe. Now, according to Rashi, that means that Rebbe is also the author of our Mishnah. Now, of course, Rebbe compiled the Mishnah as we know it, but many times we know that Mishnayos do not necessarily follow Rebbe's own opinion because he took the Mishnayos that were available to him from generations before and compiled them. So not always does it agree with his own personal opinion, but according to Rashi, here the Gemara is saying that it does. According to Tosfos, again, not necessarily the Mishnah and the Braisa may represent different opinions on the subject. So the Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, that again, when the Pasuk says v'hichtir ha-kohen es ha-kohen la-mizbecha, that the Kohen should make everything go up in smoke on the Mizbeach, everything means l'rabas ha-tzamas v'ha-gidin v'ha-kanayim v'ha-tlafayim. That comes to include even the bones and the gidin and the horns and the hooves v'ha-fu l'pirshu, even if they're separated from the animal. V'elamani m'kayim v'asi, so l'asecha v'as v'adam. So what do we do with this Pasuk that you should... that you should do your oilus, the blood and the flesh and the blood, implying that's only flesh and blood. From that, says the Tana of this Braisa, we learn a different thing. Loy Malach, it comes to tell you, Ikurei Oila Atamachsir. When you have pieces of the Oila itself that were burnt and that then fell off the Mizbeach, we learned this at the beginning of the Perek, Poikin, where pieces, where you have those moisture inside the pieces, and then the water boils and causes the piece to jump out. So if that piece is from the Oila itself, from the Evorim of the Oila, then you return it to Atamachsu, then you return it to the Mizbeach. The Iatamachsu, you call it Gidin Vatsomos, but you don't do that with Gidin Vatsomos that did the same kind of thing, where those fell off the Mizbeach, says the Tana of this Braisa. We're not talking about him Olu Yodu. The Tanakama of this Braisa holds that in fact, even if you did put the atzamos and so forth on the Mizbeach, you don't take them down. All he's saying is if they fall off the Mizbeach on their own because of the heat, then you don't put them back, as opposed to the Evorim of the Oil. Tosfos points out that at the beginning of the Perek, we had a different limud to say that Poikin go back on the Mizbeach, because Tosfos explains, because that limud over there would have been because the limud over here would only be when they're on the Mizbeach, then you leave them on the Mizbeach. But you wouldn't know that if they fell off the Mizbeach, you have to put them back, and therefore we have that limud over there, and then Tosfos gives another reason as well why we need the two limudin. So the Tanakhama of this Braisa holds that the words habasa v'hadam are not meant to exclude that that bones and gidim and so forth don't belong on the Mizbeach. Just it comes to teach us that if they fall off the Mizbeach, you don't give if poikin, then you don't have to put them back. Rebbe says no. One pasuk says the kohen should offer everything on the mizbeach, and that word everything riba, that's a ribui. On the other hand, when it says a boss of adam, is a miut. So Rebbe, so it's not just a matter of saying. It's not just a matter of ikulei oila, says Rebbe. There has to be something as far as bringing it up to the mizbeach in the first place, and as far as yodu and yalu. Hoketzad. So how does that go? Says Rebbe. Mechuborin yalu. If they're attached to the body of the animal, yalu, then those things, the bones and the gidim and so forth, go up to the mizbeach, same as anything else. Pirshu. But if they were separated from the korban, afilohen b'rosh mizbeach, even if they're on the top of the mizbeach, yodu, then they go down. So therefore, so the braisa that we said before. That would be according to Rebbe. Now again, according to Rashi, According to Rashi, then the Mishnah follows the same opinion. Therefore, the Mishnah is also, according to Rebbe, and the Mishnah is also saying that these things, if Pirshu, then even if you brought them up from the Mizbeach, Yerudu, you take them off from the Mizbeach. Whereas Tosfos says that not. The Braisa is according to Rebbe, but the Mishnah does not necessarily have to be. The Mishnah could be according to the Chachamim of this Braisa as well. And all it's saying is don't bring them up to the Mizbeach, but if you did, then lo Yerudu, you don't take them down. Within that, again, subject to a machlokes achronim, on the question, well, does Tosfos mean even if they were separated from the korban before, when they were still on the floor, or only as the keren ora, of course, as Halachah Shittim Kubetzis learns in Tosfos, or does it mean only if they were separated on the top of the mizbeach, which is how the keren ora, which is how keren ora learns? Okay. Now, the Braisa had said, or the Mishnah had said, Pirshu lo yalu chola, that if the if they were separated from the korban, then you don't bring them up to the mizbeach. A different girsa which Tosfos has and Shutva Kubetzis has is Omamar Pirshu Yerdu. That in that case the Gemara is now quoting not from the Mishnah but rather from the Braisa. That we said that where the Braisa had said that the according to Rebbe that even if Pirshu Yerdu they do go off. So Amar Rav Zeira, so Rav Zeira says again whether you so now you have the different gerusos whether what Rav Zeira is referring to the Mishnah or the case of the Mishnah or the Braisa. Again, according to Rashi, it's the same thing. According to Tosfos, they're different. Anyway, lo shonu elasha pirshu klapei mata. This that we're talking about, that if pirshu, that means the Mishnah had said lo yalu, or the Braisa had said yerdu, that would only be shapirshu klapei mata. That would only be if they separated. Going downward, meaning that they fell away from the marocha, from the wood pile and the fire on the mizbeach. Ava klape maila, but if they fell upward, meaning closer to the fire, then karubi who dakrivul the ikul. On the contrary, then they're closer to being burnt, and then therefore you can't say that's not considered pershu, and then you don't remove them from the mizbeach. So the Gemara says va'afilu pershu. Even if they separated. So one way of understanding this word is after the pirshu. So Rashi says nira be'enai. Rashi says it seems like there's something missing over here. What is the Gemara doing over here? Is it quoting from the Braisa? Is it asking a question? What is it doing? So Rashi first says it seems that there's something missing from the girsa. Then Rashi says that it seems, with the girsa that we have in front of us, that it would be a question. Vafilu pirshu. You're telling me even if they separated, we said that when they're mechuborim, when they're connected to the korban, then you bring them then you do bring them up to begin with. So what would that mean? So there are a variety of explanations of what the Gemara means over here by these words Vafilu Pirshu. So when Rashi is saying that when Rashi so first of all I mean within so so so. So first of all, like this, again, Tosfos discusses, are we discussing the Mishnah or are we discussing the Braisa? Because Tosfos points out, for one thing, if we were in the middle of discussing the Braisa, why all of us, and afterwards we're going to continue discussing the Braisa, why would we be interrupting by discussing something from the Mishnah? Now, within that then, Hagos Habach points out, one factor of this also, what does this Vafilu Pirshu mean? Is it quoting the Braisa? Is it Rabba asking on what Rav Zeira had just said? We have a few different ways of understanding what these two words Vafilu Pirshu mean. One of them being that Rabba is saying, listen, Rav Zeira, you're saying Pirshu Klapei Maila, you burn them. What do you mean Vafilu Pirshu? Even if they separated, the Mishnah had said, as Tosfos is pointing out, that only if Mechuborim, only if they're attached, then we bring them up to the Mizbeach. If Pirshu, then always Yerdu. So what do you mean? What kind of a difference would there be between Klapei Maila and Klapei Mata? And in fact, the Choyk Nasan mentions this explanation and points out that this seems to be Rashi's explanation and that Rabba is arguing on Rav Zeira. And in fact, we see that Rambam doesn't bring Rav Zeira's distinction between the Maila and the Mata either, implying that Rabba is in fact asking on him and schlugging him up. According to when Rashi is saying Yudah Be'enei Shechosim and Agusa, that seems there's something missing in the Agusa, then according to that way of looking at it, it wouldn't be a question, but rather the Gemara would be saying something like Eloloi Shna. There's no difference between the Maila and the Mata. Vafi Lepirshu, always, if they separated, then you're not going to be Matthew then. So Omar Rabba, Hochi Kamar. So Rabba says what it means is as follows. And again, Hochi Kamar, there's different Geosaurus that take out those words. So according to that, then Afilu Pirshu would be a quotation from the Braisa, and then Omar Rabba would be clarifying and saying Lo Shonu without the Hochi Kamar. Anyway, Elisha Pirshu La'achas Zrika. The difference Rabba says is not Lamailo or Lamata, but rather whether they separated before the Zrika. Aval Pirshu Koidim Zrika. But if these things, the not bones, you can't really separate. Well, yeah, the bones, even the bones before Zrika. You shafted the korban, and then before you did the Zrika, you separated a bone from the korban, or the horbs, or any of these other things that were mentioned in the Mishnah. So if they were separated even before Zrika, Asoi Zrika, then the Zrika comes, Visharisinu, and it makes the mutter, that you could even, says Rabbah, that you could even now make from them handles of knives. Now, in other words, they have no more kedusha, and therefore you certainly don't bring them up onto the mizbeach. So the key factor is not going to be whether it went closer or further from the fire, it's going to be whether they were separated from the animal before the zrika or not. If they were still attached to the animal at zrika, then they have kedusha. So now, you're supposed to be bringing them up onto the mizbeach. If they got separated after that, then we can discuss the Mishnah versus the Braisa, whether you bring them up, and if you, the Mishnah had said you don't bring them up, and then fine, if you brought them up, then Yerudu or not Yerudu. But if they were separated before Zirka, then Rabba is saying they have no Kedusha even at all, and you could even make the silverware in it. So the Gemara says, Savala, ki hod Rabbi Yechon Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. How does Rabba get that? Because he holds, like what Rabbi Yechon had said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, as follows. Nemar, the Pasuk says, Lo yiyeh ba'ola. By a Korban Ola, the Pasuk says that it is his. It goes to the Korban. V'nemar lo yiyeh ba'osham. And by the Osham, it also says the expression Lo yiyeh. By the Ola, it says the skin of the skin of the oiler goes to the kohen. By the osham, it says that the lo yir, that the meat of it goes to the kohen. So we can learn from that, says Rabbi Shmuel, ma osham atzmos of mutarin, just like by an osham, the bones are mutter, and it has to be because the meat itself is mutter to the kohenim to eat. So the bones certainly are not going to be taken and burnt on the mizbeach or something. The bones are not considered noisim either because noisim is only things that are edible. In fact, by most korbanos, what you can do is you can break open the bones and take out the marrow because otherwise the marrow will be noisim because it is edible. By the korban pesach, you can't. Therefore, the Mishnah himself says that after the korban becomes noisim, then the first day chalamoyed you burn the bones. But by other korbanos, you can take it. You can open up the bones, extract the marrow, and the bones themselves have no further kedusha in them. So just like that's the case by an osham, ach oilat mesel mutarim. The same way by an oila, the bones are mutter, and therefore, as Rabba says, now what would be the case? Usually, the bones of an oila are going to be burnt on the mizbeach together with the korban. So we have to be talking about where they were separated at some point. And this is what Rabba is saying is that when they were separated before the zrika. So Rashi points out that Tosfos points out that actually Rashi himself later on in the Masechta. So here Rashi is saying that the vote is that the Gemara is saying just like the meat is mutter, then certainly the bones must be mutter. On the other hand, later in the Masechta, Rashi himself takes back that explanation because you could say the meat, which is roi lachila, is available, but the bones not necessarily. No, it's rather just because it says lo yia, then that itself means that anything of the osham that didn't go on the mizbeach is available for the kohenim. And then Tosfos goes on to mention why it says specifically by an why we say specifically by an osham, by a chatos. It also says that it goes to the kohen. Anyway, the point is, therefore, so again, here Rashi is saying that we learn it just like the meat, by mamatzinu, just like the meat is mutter, so are the bones. Later on in the Masechta, Rashi himself challenges that explanation and says it's rather just because it says lo yiyin. So anything of the osham goes to the kohen. So now, in turn, since it says lo yia by the ola as well, even though the ola is supposed to be completely burnt on the mizbeach, nevertheless, there's a case where the bones are mutter b'hana, and what would that be? As Rabbah is saying, where they were separated before the zrika. However, the Gemara points out, mufni. You have to say that this gzera shava must be mufna, must be that the words are available on both sides and not used for the simple meaning of the pasuk or for anything else. The eloi mufni, because if it's not mufna, ikma mifrach, then you could slug up this gzera shava. That's the move. You can make a gzera shava, but still, if you find a reason to slug it up, you could. The Gemara mentions in other places in Shas, is that only if it's a, you have the different cases where it's mufna mitzad effort or not mufna at all, or mufna mishneitz dodin, which sides exactly are available, but in any case, we do have a concept where a gzera shava can be slugged up. So here, we have to say that this gzera shava can't be slugged up. Because it's mufne. The eloi, because it's not, the eloi mufne, ikal mifrach, then you can shlog up the gzera shava. Mala oshim shkem, sorry, mutter. Just that. The oshim, the meat of it is mutter. And therefore, you can say that there's a heter to use the bones as well. As opposed to the ola, there's no heter to eat the meat. Why should we assume that the bones ever become mutter ma'ana? So the Gemara points out, indeed, lo yia yisera ksev, because by the words lo yia by the ola are extra. Because what does the pasuk say? Ola asher hikriv lakoyin lo yia, the skin of the ola that a person was makriv to the koyin, to him it is. So why do they need to say lo yia? Lakoyin, period. So therefore, so the words lo yia are indeed available for the gzeira shava. So the Gemara doesn't bother dealing with over here whether it's mufna on the other side as well. In other places in Shas, the Gemara will ask, well, is the gzeira shava mufna from the other side as well? And there is an opinion that in that case, we made in a meshivin, that you could learn the gzeira shava, but you still could slug it up. Here, the Gemara doesn't bother with that. At least we know that it's mufna from the one side of the earth. Okay? The Gemara says, mosiv rav ada ba'ada. So again, so Rabbah is saying that the bones of an oila can be mutter b'hana, namely if they were separated before the zrika. So Masiv Rav Ada B'Ava, Atmos Kodshim, bones of Kodshim, Lifnei Zrika Molin B'Han, if it's before the zrika, then the ila applies to it, because the Kohenim are not yet mutter to eat the meat or to do anything. La'acha Zrika in Molin B'Han, after the zrika, the ila no longer applies. But v'shel ola, however, bones of an ola, molen behem la'olam, mi'ila always applies to them, because the meat never becomes mutter, it always has to be burnt on the mizbeach, so the bones go with that as well. So then in that case, what are you telling me, Rabbi, that you can go and make them into handles of knives or things like that? So the answer is no. Ema, what the b'raisa means to say, v'shel ola, pirushu lifnei zrika ein molen behem, as far as the earth. With the other korbanos, the key factor is it before or after the zrika? It doesn't matter when the bone was separated from the flesh. No matter what, zrika will make that bone mutter. When it comes to the ola, pirushu lifnei zrika ein molen behem, v'shel ola, pirushu lifnei zrika ein molen behem, if the bone was separated from the flesh before the zrika, then me'ila does not apply, as Rabbi is saying, because then they don't have any kedusha anymore at all, since, as we just said before, you don't even bring them up onto the mizbeach. La'acha zrika, but if they were separated after zrika, molen behem, then the ila will indeed apply, because then at the time of zrika, they were still attached to the animal, and they were meant to have been brought up onto the mizbeach. So that brings, there's no contradiction to that. However, the Gemara points out, Pliga de Rabbi Lazar. However, now Rabbah's opinion disagrees with Rabbi Lazar. The Amar Rabbi Lazar, Pirusha Lifnei Zrika Merlin Behan, Rabbi Lazar says, Faker, if the bones were separated before Zrika, then Ne'ila will always apply to them. We don't have the word La'olam in the Gemara, but Rashi puts it in, Merlin Behan La'olam, once they were separated, and they themselves are not something that's meant to be burnt on the Mizbeach, so then the Zrika does not take away their Isser. They still remain the same Isser as they had before, says Rabbi Lazar. La'acha zrika, and if they were separated after zrika, loy nenin v'loy moylin, then you're not allowed to have hana from them midrabanon. However, me'ila will not apply to them because we have the gzera shava from the word lo yia. And again, by the osham, as Rashi points out, once the blood is sprinkled, then the meat and the meat is mutter to the koyanim, and then the bones become mutter with it as well. So therefore, so if the bones were separated at la'acha zrika, then you were supposed to burn, at the time of zrika, they were supposed to be burned on the mizbeach. So midaraisa, we would have said, like Rabbi Shmuel's Gzeira Shava, that you could use them, midrabanan not, but since it's only midrabanan, then mi'ila wouldn't apply. Tosfos brings a different gusa that that Rabbi Elazar says that in the case where they were separated before zrika, that meila wouldn't apply to them la olam, but only ad zrika. That the meila would apply to them until the zrika, and then after that, when it comes to the zrika, then loinen and v'leimolin. Then from that point on, you're still not allowed to have anah, but then meila goes away. But I'm paskins like Rabba, so therefore yes, if the bones were separated before Zrika, then you're allowed to use them for tableware or whatever. As far as the Pirsha Klape Mata and Klape Maila, again the Rambam doesn't bring that, which as Mechot Nosson pointed out means that the Rambam understands when we have the whole mix up with Diosaurus before that Rabba is evidently disagreeing with Reb Zera and saying that Klape Mata and Klape Maila is not a factor. If it's on the Mizbeach, we leave. If it was brought up onto the Mizbeach when it was supposed to be, then we leave it there, but if it's separated, then we take it off the Mizbeach and it doesn't have any Kedusha. Okay. The Mishnah continues, the Chulon, everything that we said so far, that in Olu Lo Yerdu, Shepoku Me'al Gabe HaMizbeach, if they jumped off the Mizbeach, as we said before, if there's water in them and the water boils and causes them to jump off, lo yachzir, then you don't put them back on. You weren't they weren't supposed to go on the Mizbeach in the first place. But you put them up there and then they olu lo yerdu, but nevertheless once they fell off the Mizbeach, once they jumped off, you don't put them back. Rashi says we're talking about both. We're talking about the psulim that we said before, such as Lon and Tome and Yotze and the rest of them that we learned previously, as well as it also means the bones and the gidim and so forth that we of the previous Mishnah. So here Rashi says even you brought them up mechul and now the fire burnt them up. And now you have a piece of bone left, and that jumped off the Mizbeach. Rashi says it's still a machzir, and you don't have to return it to the Mizbeach. So Rashi also explains Vayachzir means ein sorech lahachzir. You don't have to return it, but you could if you want to. Tosfos discusses that the possibility maybe the cholon of our Mishnah means only the psulim. But in any case, fine. So you don't put them back. V'chein, similarly, the Mishnah continues, Gachela Shepokam, Al Gabi HaMizbeach, same thing. If a coal of the wood on the Ma'arach jumped off the Mizbeach, lo yachzu, then you don't have to return it either. So there are, in fact, Rashi himself elsewhere in Shas, in Sech and Me'ila, explains that on Mishnah is talking only about Atzomus Vigidin and not the other kind of Psulim. Next, the Mishnah continues. Evorim Shepokum Me'al Gabi HaMizbeach. What about limbs of Korbanus? Now those can be burnt on the Mizbeach all night. If those fell off the Mizbeach, then it depends. Kodim Chatzos, if it was before Chatzos, a Yatsu, then you should put them back on the Mizbeach. Umoylan Behen, and Me'ila will apply to them because the mitzvah of burning them has not been finished yet. They're still Bnei Mizbeach. They still belong to the Mizbeach. And therefore Me'ila still applies to them. La'acha Chatzos, if they fell off, if they jumped off, after Chatzos, lo Yatsu, you don't have to return them. Why the difference between one after Chatzos is what we're going to be discussing in the Gemara. Lo Yachziv, you don't have to put them back. The Ein Molin Behen and Me'ila does not apply to them because at that point it's considered that they're already burnt. The Gemara is going to explain that the Gemara is going to call it Chatzos Oise Ikul, that once it comes Chatzos, it's considered as though they're already burnt, as we're going to learn in the Gemara today and tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. So now we have the general rule that Dabash and Nasis Mitzvah say something where the mitzvah has been accomplished with it, then Me'ila no longer applies to it. This is a general rule throughout Shas. There were some rare exceptions we learned before, but Shumas Hadeshin being one of them, but ordinarily that's the rule. And therefore, once it comes Chatzos and these pieces are considered to be completely burnt, then Me'ila no longer applies. Next, the Mishnah continues, Kishem Sham Mizbeach Mekadesh as a Roi Loi, just as the Mizbeach is Mekadesh, what's suitable for it, as we learned at the beginning of the Perek, and we discussed over there what means suitable for it or not, Kacha Kevesh Mekadesh, the same way the ramp of the Mizbeach is also Mekadesh Psulim that go on it, and you have, for example, We've talked about before when they brought the Talmud and when they brought the Korban Talmud in the morning, and the Pastor, I guess it was the same with other Korbanos throughout the day. The Mishnah in the Sefer Talmud describes after they cut up the Korban, they would put the pieces of it on the Kevesh, they would salt them, leave them sitting in the salt a while, and then the Korban would go off to do some parts of davening and certain other things, and then they would come and bring them up onto the Mizbeach. It would be a different Korban that do it because they'd have a different pious for it, but whatever. The point being that they would stay on the Kevesh for some period of time. The Kevesh is also Makadosh them, that now, even if they're apostle, then you still bring them up onto Mizbeach. Similarly, Kishem Shakevesh Mizbeach, that Kevesh Makadosh and Sadoi Lahan, the same way as the Mizbeach and the Kevesh are Makadosh things that are suitable for them, and subject to whatever the rules of what's Roy Lahan or not. Kachakelim Makadosh, the same way the Klei Shadus are Makadosh the things that are in them. An interesting point that Tosfos mentions elsewhere, here it doesn't say it's a roi lahem, so maybe that implies that they're Makadosh even things that are not roi for them. That said, though, the next Mishnah is going to describe, you have a difference between kalim for liquids and dry things, that the ones for liquids are Makadosh liquids, the ones for dry things are Makadosh dry things, so you do have that distinction. And then the Rambam Taka says that the Feirush, that by the Klei Shadus, it does have to be Rory Lahem as well. According to Tosfos, maybe not necessarily. Okay. So the Gemara says, what's the scenario? Let's focus on this part about Kodim Chatzos and Acha Chatzos. Hey, dummy, why is there a difference between before and after Chatzos? If the piece that fell off the Mizbeach still has Mamoshos to it, it's not completely burnt, then even after Chatzos you should have to put it back because it hasn't been completely burnt, the mitzvah has not been completely accomplished. And if at this point it has no Mamoshos to it already, it's completely burnt and now it's just ashes, then and even before Chatzos, why should you have to put it back? And the answer is Lo Tzricha. The case of the Mishnah is where Chatzos makes a difference. Where the piece is hard. The piece has gotten burnt by the fire enough that now it became a hard piece, but it hasn't yet been reduced to ashes, or it hasn't been reduced to coal yet. Rashi says. So now it has the consistency of dry wood. So now you have the difference before and after Chatzos. Okay. The Gemara says Menahani Mili. Where do we know that distinct? Where we know that there's a distinction between before and after Chatzos? Amar Rav. So Rav says as follows. Now you have like this. Let's look at the pasuk. Samas Aaron Rez Bon of Lema Zos Teras Ola He Ha Ola Alak Tol Mokto Kol Mizbeach Ada Laila Ada Kol Laila Ada Broker. And then the pasuk continues that the Korban is brooding on the Mizbeach all night. So it doesn't actually say Vehichtu in the pasuk, but Rashi points out since it says Kol Mokto Al Mizbeach Kol Laila Ada Broker, then that means in other words you're brooding it all night on the Mizbeach. Kol Laila Behedel. On the other hand, the pasuk continues that behavim is adeshin. And the behavim is adeshin, Rashi points out, of necessity must be referring to kol alayla. Because when does it say v'lovash ha-koyin midevad, that the koyin puts on his linen garments and does tshuvas adeshin, is only after that. In other words, when it says like this, etc. And then when it says that means in the morning he puts on his clothing and does that. That implies, in other words, that the Truma Sadeshin can be Kol Alayla. Because the vote is the pasuk doesn't say v'lovash akhoin b'boiker midayban. That's the vote. It doesn't say that in the morning you should put on midayban. So that implies, in other words, that we're talking about still during the night and still then trumas adeshin is being done. So what is it? Is all night for burning the korbanos or is all night for trumas adeshin to remove the burnt ashes? So what does that mean? Chalkeu means you have to divide up the night. The first half of the night is available for bruning the korbanos, and during that time you can't do trumas adeshin yet because. So now, when we're saying, if there are ashes available, mela. But in other words, when you have something that has not yet become ashes, it's still, as we said, b'shriri. It's a hard piece. Then you can't yet say that it's not yet deshen. It's not yet ashes, and you cannot do trumas adeshen with it yet. The first half of the night is still a time to see to it that it gets completely burned. V'chetzi laharama. The second half can be for trumas adeshen, even if you have a hard piece over there. Then already it can be called deshen. Now, Rashi says it certainly can't be, we're still talking about a fresh piece that hasn't been hardened yet. That certainly wouldn't be called deshen, but the point would be that at least that at least the hard pieces already at that point are considered deshen, what as Gemara is going to call it later on, chatzos ose ikul, that chatzos makes it considered to be now, to be completely burnt and to be ashes, and therefore that's a valid time, you could now use that piece as part of the Terumas HaDeshen. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos discusses that, is that really necessarily so? These hard pieces, are they Rory LaHaroma? Are they suitable for Terumas HaDeshen? The fact is, they're not Chetzioi. So no, he doesn't actually mean Haroma. He just means Ke'en Haroma, meaning at that point, the time for Akhtara is over. At this point, you don't have to be makter them anymore. If they continue burning, fine. But at this point, as the Mishnah had said, if they fall off the Mizdeach, then you don't have to put them back. Tosfos goes into a long discussion all about that, what exactly is going on after and before and after Terumas HaDeshen in terms of things burning, if there were things still burning when they drew the Terumas HaDeshen, there were going to be coals over there, won't there be a problem that you're, we're going to learn in our sugya that you're not allowed to take coals off the Mizdeach. So, on the other hand, we have other places where it seems to imply that Terumas HaDeshen did involve coals. So Tosfos spends quite a bit of time discussing that back and forth. In the end, Tosfos says we could still, Rashi is saying, Chetzio LaHaroma, yes, even these shiri, even as far as these hard pieces, that as far as, so fine, not that you can use them for Terumas HaDeshen, for that you need actual ashes, but at least that you can now put them onto the tapuach, you can put them onto the pile of ashes in the middle of the Mizbeach, and not worry about the fact that they're not completely burned, because the fact that now they got to be hard like that might be good enough. In other words, according to Rav, it's Daraisa, that until Chatzos is a time, is not a time for Terumas HaDeshen, only after Chatzos is. However, Mosiv Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana says I have a contradiction to that. We learned in a Mishnah in Yuma, b'chol yom Terumas HaMizbeach, every other day of the year, they would do Terumas HaDeshen, mikrois hageder, at the time of krois hageder, or a little bit before or after it. The Gemara mentions there are two explanations of krois hageder. One, it means when the rooster crows, and the other, it means when the announcer in the Beis Hamikdash, Gvini, his name was, would make the loud announcements that's time for the Kohenim and Levium and Yisraelim to come to their respective stations. Normally Terumas HaDeshen took place around that time. Over Yom Kippurim, b'chatzos, but Yom Kippur would be done earlier, it would be done at chatzos. And on Yom Tovim, on the Shavuot Regalim, b'ashmuras harishona, it would be done on the first watch of the night. So Rashi points out, on the Yom Tovim, there are a lot of korbanos, and there's a lot of ashes, and after they do Terumas HaDeshen, they have to put the ashes into the tapuach, in the middle of the Mizbeach, and they have to set up the ma'arocha, so they need things done earlier. Mefarshim talk about, actually, that another Tosfos discusses in Yuma, another point of it. It's not only because there are a lot of korbanos. The Mishnah also mentions that there were a lot of people in the Azara, and therefore that's another reason why the Rosh explains that the Rosh has the gears over here, not only Nefishi Korbanos, there are a lot of Korbanos, well, the Gemara is going to explain soon that Nefishi Korbanos, there are a lot of Korbanos, but he has a gears also Nefishi Yisrael, there are many people in the Azara, so it's very crowded, so if they do Terumas HaDeshen at Krois HaGever as usual, then it's going to be too crowded for them to go back and forth and do whatever they need to do and take the Deshen out and do everything else that they need to do, so therefore they would do it already by Ashmoda HaRishona so that they can get everything finished before Krois HaGever, before everybody shows up in the Azara. The point is, so we see that sometimes Terumas HaDeshen, on Yom Tovim would take place before Chatzos. The Gemara mentions in Brachas that there were different opinions whether there are three or four Ashmodas during the night. So the end of Ashmoda HaRishona would be either the equivalent of 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, if we assume that Shia is at 6, let's say. So they're doing it long before Chatzos. If you're telling me that the deadline of Chatzos is Daraisa, Heichem Akhtaminin, Beheichem Acharinin, how could we do it any earlier, or how could we do it any later? The Beheichem Acharinin is in parenthesis, because that may not be such a problem. Rashi points out there's no problem Heichem Acharinin. The Gemara, Rav had said that from Chatzos and onward is the time for Terumas HaDeshen. So no problem to do it later. There's no problem to do it at Krois HaGever. The question would be, how could we sometimes be doing it earlier than Chatzos? That said, Tosfos in Yuma, which is where this Mishnah comes from, says that no, in fact, the Gemara does belong. The question is, Kefi Machrin, why did they make the rule throughout the year that it's a praise together, if according to Rav, the earliest you can do it is Chatzos, Zrizin Makdim and Remitzvah, do it as soon as possible at Chatzos throughout the year. So anyway, the point is that, so how is Rav saying that it's Doraisa and you cannot do it before Chatzos? Why, how do we find that sometimes you do it before Chatzos, and why throughout the rest of the year, according to Tosfos and Gersa, according to the Gersa we have in front of us, is why would we sometimes do it, why we most of the time do it later? So it can't be. There must be a different reason, well, there must be a different reason why Trumas Hadeshin takes place at these different times throughout the year. So Ella Omer Rav Yochanan. So rather, Rav Yochanan says as follows. Now here also you have Rashi takes out the word Ella. So when the word Ella is when the Gemara uses the word Ella, it means never mind what I said until now. I'm going to give you a different explanation because we slogged up the previous one. Without Ella, it means the Gemara is continuing and clarifying what it said before. So Rashi explains that Rav Yochanan is not coming to slog up. So we brought what Rav had said, the Psukim, and we said that Rav Kahana asks that we find that Trumas Hadeshin in fact takes place sometimes earlier than Chatzos. So now, according to Rashi, the word Ella we also take out because Rashi says Rav Yochanan is not coming to contradict what Rav says. He agrees that the Psukim work like the way Rav says in Chatzos Oise Ikul. But he's going to explain why Rav Kahana's question from the times of Trumas Hadeshin is not a question. On the other hand, with the Gersa Ella means Rabbi Yochanan is arguing with Rav and saying that Chatzos is not necessarily Oseh Ikul, that Kol Laila refers to both. You can do the burning anytime during the night. You can do the Trumas Hadeshin during any time during the night. Depends whether there's Deshin or not. So when we have Chatzos Oseh Ikul is going to be another point that we're going to learn later on in the Gemara. But according to that, the Ella belongs over here, and Rabbi Yochanan is in fact disagreeing with the Jerusha of the Psukim of Rav. Anyway, so Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mimash Meshenema Kol Alayla, since it says Kol Alayla Eni Yadesh Ad Boker, obviously all night means until the morning. Ma Tamalama Ad Boker, so why does the Pasuk say Kol Alayla Ad Boker? Means, says Rabbi Yochanan, Ten Boker, the Bokerish Alayla. Means give a morning preceding the morning of the night. The actual morning of the night means when dawn breaks. Alois Hashachar. A breaker, the breaker Shalila, would be even earlier than that.
Wake up early.
So yeah, it means wake up early, but it means more than that. It means
a breaker
is something. Yeah, that means early in the morning, relatively. But yeah, so here what it means is that before even the actual breaker, there should already be a breaker before that when Trumas Hadeshin can take place. So it does mean that you can be burning the Emurim all night, the Evorim and the Emurim all night, Ada Berker, but it also means, as far as Harama, that Trumas Hadeshin can be done earlier. And then, so the Pasuk is leaving it up to you, saying, you Chachamim, you Kohenim, will decide in each period when that needs to be. So therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, so the times that it says in the Mishnah, you're wondering, Rav Kahana, how they don't contradict Rabbi Yochanan. Again, how they don't contradict Rav. Again, according to Rashi, Rabbi Yochanan is not contradicting Rav's explanation. He's just saying that don't worry about the Mishnah because the Pasuk itself is implying that Trumas Hadeshin can take place earlier if necessary. According to Tosfos, as you said, with the word Ella, Rabbi Yochanan is arguing and saying, no, the Pasuk never meant to say that only half the night is available for brooding and half for Trumas Hadeshin. In fact, the Pasuk is telling you that you can do Trumas Hadeshin much earlier. So here's how we do it. So we look at practical considerations. Most days of the year it's enough to do it at Kreis HaGever, a little before or a little after, and that's good enough. There's no need to do it any earlier. It's true that after that we're going to have to be raking up the ashes into the Tapuach and setting up the Ma'aracha and everything. No big deal. We have time on a normal day between Kreis HaGever and Alois HaShachar to accomplish that, so that way at Alois HaShachar we can shech the Korban Tavim. The Yom HaKippurim now comes Yom Kippur, Mishum Chulsha the Kohen Gadol, because of the weakness of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol has to do the entire Avodah. So therefore, you want to move things up earlier in order that he has time to rest between things. Now, Tosfos brings over here like this. The question is, There's a big machlokas rishonim. We know, of course, the Kohen Gadol had to do all the avodah of Yom Kippur, and he had to do the avodahs of many things on Yom Kippur that are part of the regular avodah throughout the year, such as the Korban Tamid. He had to do those as well. Does it mean that every single avodah, even Trumas Hadeshen, everything else, had to be done by the Kohen Gadol, or were there some things that could be done by the other Kohenim? One source of that machlokas is the fact the second perek of Yuma describes all the pioses, all of the lotteries that they would do to determine which kohen does which avodah. So the question is, what's that doing in the Sefer Yuma? Is that just the? I mean, does that mean that every other day they would do it, but Yom Kippur they wouldn't? Then why is it in the Sefer Yuma? It should be in the Sefer Tamid. So there is an explanation among a number of Rishonim. And then Tosfos mentions over here from the Riva that in fact they would have the piyosis even on Yom Kippur because there were certain avodas that the other kohenim would do as well. Well, that being the case, the girsa may not be over here kohen gadol. The girsa may be chosha the kohen, a regular kohen as well, is also weak because that's always fasting. So we want to allow him to do it as early as possible so that he can relax after that. However, then Tosfos says that no, what it means is chosha de kohen gadol. The fact is, after Trumas Hadeshen, there's going to be, again, they have a number of things to do, as far as setting up the Mizdeach. Fine, other kohenim can do those, but the kohen gadol has to be ready at Alois HaShachar to be shecht in the Korban Tamid. We want to be able to start as soon as possible before he gets hungry and weak. So therefore, if we were to wait until Kreis HaGever, then we have a lot to do on Yom Kippur, more than other days, and therefore the result is he'd be able to shecht the Korban Tamid only after Alois, and by that time already he's starting to feel weak. So the gifts of Chosh of the Kohen Gadol could work. So that explains why on Yom Kippur they move it up to Chatzos, Mechatzos. That way he either, if the Kohen Gadol himself is doing it, he has time to relax. If a different Kohen is doing it, he has time to do it before he starts feeling weak, before he starts feeling the effect of the fast. And this way they can also have everything ready by Alois HaShachar for the Kohen Gadol to start the Avodah. For a golem, and the shalosh golem, the nefishi korbanos, you have many korbanos. The cat, and as the Rosh has the girsa, also there are many Jews, and the Azorah is crowded. The kadmi also Yisrael, and Jews come very early to bring their korbanos. So therefore, so you have a huge amount of ashes on the mizbeach. And therefore, so therefore we have to do the Truma Suggestion already at Ashmoda Sarishona, because it's going to take a long time, to get everything ready, and as the Rosh says, it's going to be hard to get through the crowds. Kitikotoni Sefer, as in fact the Sefer of that Mishnah says, Loihoi Sakriya Sagever Magas, it wouldn't even be the rooster's crow or the announcer's announcement, Adjitahoisa Azora Malaya, Mi Yisrael, before the Azora was filled with Jews who came to bring their korbanos. So we see, therefore, says Rabbi Yechanan, it's not a matter of that, so you're asking Rav Kahana, how are we able to do it before Chatzos? The answer is that the Torah itself is giving us that leeway. According to Rashi, he's agreeing that half the night basically is available for Trumas Hadeshen. However, since the Pasuk says Ada Boker, then it means that you have earlier than that when necessary. And according to Tosfos, the vote is that Rabbi Yechanan is disagreeing with Rav's whole premise and saying the entire night is available for Trumas Hadeshen, and therefore the Chachamim can decide on their own when is the appropriate time on different days of the year. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll continue talking about this Chatzos Oseh Ikul, and this whole business of the difference between before and after Chatzos as it applies to the Mizbeach.